Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Everybody say,
Amen.
Thank you. And I'd like for you to silence your cell phones and listen in a spirit of worship as we listen to Donna play her prelude. Thank you, Donna. I felt that was very beautiful. Please register your attendance on the friendship sheets that are located in the pews and say hello to your neighbor. Please look over the printed calendar of events in your bulletin. Today is our kickoff Sunday with a potluck in Fellowship Hall, and everyone is invited. I'm pleased to welcome our guest, the Reverend Joanne Bell Haynes, who will be bringing us our message today. She has been the regional minister of our Central Rocky Mountain region since February of 2017. Along with me, some of you met her last year when we had our fall assembly in September. You may read more about her participation in the life of our church in our bulletin. But what always comes to my mind when I think of Joanne, Reverend Joanne Bell Haynes, is her beautiful smile that she shares with us and the entire world. Would you please extend a warm welcome? As we continue to seek and pray for an interim minister, our elders will provide care during the in-between time. Their names, phone numbers, and the dates they will be on call are listed in your bulletin. The nominating committee is already hard at work and asks everyone to please fill out the nomination form that you have in your bulletin so that they will be able to fill the various positions within the church. The Mountain View Baptist Church has invited the ladies of our church family to join them on Saturday, September 28th, for a Living Proof simulcast with Beth Moore from 9:30 until 4:30 p.m. Early registration is until September 20th, and the tickets will be $15 per person, but if you wait until after the 20th, the registration will be $20 per person. They are providing lunch, drinks, and snacks. Beth is the founder of Living Proof Ministries, which is a Bible-based organization for women and focuses on aiding women who desire to model their lives on an evangelical Christian principles. If you have any questions or wish to purchase a ticket, please contact me. I have 10 tickets, but more are available. Kim Doyle stopped in this morning. Many of you know her father, Jim Doyle. He will be having double knee surgery next Tuesday. She was not sure which hospital he would be in, but he will be spending 2 to 3 weeks at Elkhorn after his surgery. I'm sure he'd like to have some visitors. Kathy Malloy had 5 stents put in Wednesday. She's in good spirits, as a matter of fact. She's here today, and we're so happy about that. Please continue to pray for her healing and recovery. It's Debbie Mestis' birthday. Is she here today? I don't see her, but if you do see her, wish her happy birthday. Are there any late announcements today? If not, our opening hymn this morning is All Things Bright and Beautiful. It's on page 61, but first stand and greet one another, and then we'll sing together.
Thank you.
join me in the call to worship? Lord of all creation, we praise your greatness for all you have given us. Lord of strength, help us put our trust in you.
We call upon your guidance to lighten our path.
Lord of grace, may the light of your face shine on us and fill us.
Praise be to you, our Lord and God. We will trust in you with all our hearts, minds, and strength.
Please join me in prayer. God of love, you are with us in every transition and change. As we enter into this new era with excitement and perhaps some anxiety, be with us as we move forward, rejoicing with you and supporting one another. Hear us now as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may
glory be to the Father, and to
you may be seated and open your hymnals for our hymn of prayer, Seek Ye First, on page 354. The children may come forward for children's time.
One of you to put something in the basket and cover up and bring to us. And then it's our job
to relate
this to our world, in God's world. So we're going to try it today. So who wants to take the towel off and look and see what's underneath the towel? What is it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Good morning again. This morning I'll be bringing prayer concerns. Let's see, we have June Brandemeyer is on our card shower. She's at Elkhorn recovering from a recent setback. And then we had Kathy Malloy, of course, who's with us today. So glad you're here, Kathy. And Jim Doyle, as mentioned earlier. Are there any other prayer concerns? Cindy? Okay. More surgery. Okay. Surgery and more surgery. Okay. Thank you. Debbie. Are there any mothers? Becky.
This last Thursday, my parents celebrated their 68th anniversary.
A joy, yay, 68th. Anybody else? Paul. Absolutely. Thank you. Pat?
Our family, actually it's Jean's sister's family, but welcome triplets on Labor Day.
Aww. Glad they're healthy. That's awesome. Bob? Anybody else? Let's have a moment of silence. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all together this day for kickoff Sunday, for our congregation, and for our new fall semester. Thank you for your blessing everybody that's here, and bless those children that went back to school this week, and hopefully they're all settling in. Please help those living with cancer that are struggling and healing and getting well, hopefully. Be with them. Be with others with health concerns and our senior members. Our community and world concerns are for missionary Nico Sopepa in Fiji. God's guidance during search for our new minister, for our and for an interim, and for our search committee. We could use those prayers. Our church that we're praying prayer partners with is South Broadway Christian Church in Denver, Colorado. Please be with Kathy Malloy as she recovers from her surgery, and Jim Doyle, and also June Bredemeyer. Also, we have Roger Cook and Kieran, and then the sandwich ministry folks, Robin and Doug, for their loss and for their health. Thank you for Casper College and their nursing program and celebrating 50 years of service and in that program, providing us with lots of nurses to care. For Margaret Jackson and her move, and for her and her family in this time of transition. And thank you for the joys of wedding anniversaries, 68th anniversary. That's pretty awesome. Thank you for that. And for healthy triplets. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In 2015, a woman by the name of Sarah Fisher, a member of Disciples of Christ, wrote an article called On Being People of the Red Cup. The wife of an Army chaplain, she frequently met those who were not familiar with our denomination. As a way of educating them, she used the symbolism of our logo, which is the red chalice with the white St. Andrew's cross. This chalice was officially adopted as our logo 48 years ago in 1971 at General Assembly. The white cross reminds us of our Scottish and Presbyterian ancestry, and it's also a reminder of the ministry of each person and the importance of evangelism. Equally important, the red cup means the communion table is our focus. It is representative of what Christ used during the Last Supper and shows that we are people of the table. The table unifies us. By partaking of this meal together, we are woven together, continuing the story of God's people on earth. And as we partake, we are fed and filled and set into the world. The red cup also means that we are home. When driving through a new community, a sign that says Christian Church could mean anything. But when we see the red chalice with St. Andrew's cross, we know that we are home. In each disciples' church, all over the country, we are welcome. In each, we worship God together. In each, we celebrate communion every Sunday. In each, we are home. Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. Please join me in singing Gather Us In on page 284 of your hymnal.
Thank you.
Let us pray. As we gather here at your table this morning, loving God, to break bread and remember Jesus Christ and him crucified, open your eyes to see clearly our differences. We don't look alike, we don't think alike, we don't act alike. In fact, the only thing that draws us together in this community and that holds us together in relationship is your great love for us, shown so clearly as Jesus Christ. And so as we share together this bread of remembrance, thanksgiving, and presence, draw us more tightly in the Spirit's tether and bound to you by heart. We might be better bound to one another by hands that serve, by arms that lift up and support, and by backs that gladly bear one another's burdens, we pray. And as we drink from this cup, we hear this morning, which represents to us the lifeblood of your Son, our Jesus Christ, poured out so freely for us, giving and forgiving God. Let it do its work of making us spiritually one. We've made our way to this table from different directions and by different paths. But this morning, we all stand here side by side, seeking the same thing at the same time. We are not different in what we need, and we are not different in what we hope. And so, in this moment of Holy Communion, as we taste the sweetness of this drink, let us also experience the sweetness of your Spirit that makes us glad, both to be here and to be here together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread from the table and he blessed it and broke it. And he said to them, "Take this bread and eat it, for it is my body that is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Come, God's beloved, for all things are now ready.
Thank you.
we worship a generous God whose son Jesus was both a gift and a giver. As followers of Jesus, we find our deepest joy in giving. This is why we give our offering cheerfully. The diaconate will now receive your gifts. We give you today what is already yours. You provide so much for us, blessings pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Thank you for giving us the ability to give and cheerful hearts to do it. Amen.
Let the earth hear his voice. This morning I'll be reading from the book of 2 James, 2 James, on page 334, not 333. It's chapter 4, and it reads, "One day Elisha was passing through Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to have a meal. So whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for a meal. She said to her husband, 'Look, I'm sure that this man who regularly passes our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small roof chamber with walls and put there for him a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp, so that he can stay there whenever he comes to us.' One day when he came there, he went up to the chamber and lay down there. He said to his servant, Gehazi, 'Call the Shunammite woman.' When he had called her, she stood before him. He said to him, 'Say to her, since you have taken all this trouble for us, what may be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I live among my own people.' He said, 'Well, what then may be done for her?' Gehazi answered, 'Well, she has no son, and her husband is old.' Well, he said to her, 'Call her.' When he had called her, she stood at the door. He said, 'At this season, in due time, you shall embrace a son.' She replied, 'No, my lord, O man of God, do not deceive your servant.' Well, the woman conceived and bore a son at that season, in due time, as Elisha had declared to her. When the child was older, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. He complained to his father, 'Oh, my head, my head.' The father said to the servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' He carried him and brought him to his mother. The child sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, closed the door on him, and left. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, so that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again.' He said, 'Why go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath.' And she said, 'It will be all right.' Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, 'Urge the animal on. Do not hold back for me unless I tell you.' So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Look, there's a man, a Shunammite woman. Run at once to meet her and say to her, "Are you okay? Is your husband all right? Is the child all right?" And she answered, "It is all right." When she came to the man of God at the mountain, she caught hold of his feet. Gehazi approached to push her away, but the man of God said, "Let her alone, for she is in bitter distress. The Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, do not mislead me? Then we jump down to verse 32. When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and closed the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he got up on the bed and lay upon the child, putting his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes open, and his hands upon his hands. While he lay bent over him, the flesh of the child became warm. He got down, walked once to and fro in the room. Then he got up again and bent over him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call Shunammite woman." So he called her. When she came to him, he said, "Take your son." She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she took her son and left. Thus ends the reading of our... You're welcome.
Good morning, God's beloved. It is a joy to be here with you, and I bring you greetings in the name of the risen Christ. I bring you greetings in the name of your sister congregations throughout the 311,000 square miles of the Central Rocky Mountain region. I also bring you greetings in the name of our general minister and president, the Reverend Teresa Hoard Owens. I have great memories of our time last fall here when we put feet to our faith. One of the things that Reverend Hoard Owens said to us is she said, "I want to come back, but don't ask me to do anything." And so that was really a gift to hear that she enjoyed our regional gathering as much as I did. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Holy God, we are grateful for the gift of this amazing day and that you have gathered us, your people, here in this house of prayer one more time. We pray that you will bless us that we might hear words of life. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our Redeemer. In Christ's name we pray, and the people of God said, Amen. Amen. I was headed back to my hotel room yesterday at the Residence Inn, and as I pulled into the driveway, I saw a young girl. She looked to be about 7 or 8, and she was running through the parking lot. And so I slowed down, because you never know what kids are going to do, and to make sure that she was safe as well as I. As I was entering into the lobby of the hotel, she ran past me. And while she passed me, she said, "Hello." And I was shocked. One, I didn't think that she even recognized me. And two, that she took the time to say hello. Now, why is that strange? Because most people, when I move here and there, don't even look at me, let alone say hello. When I walked into the hotel on Friday evening, the two women at the desk kept looking at me really strangely. And I thought, surely it's not because I'm a woman of color. And then I noticed, when I got to my room, that my hat looked really crazy on my head. I thought, okay, they kept wondering, why is that lady, her straw hat, looking like really off? But one of the things that happened when she was when one of the hotel reps was checking me in, was she said, they all ask this, don't they? What brings you to Casper, or what brings you to wherever? And I said, I'm here on work. And she said, oh, really? And I said, yes. And she said, and what kind of work do you do? I said, I work for God. And she looked at me, and her eyes welled up with tears. And she said, I just got news today that my husband has prostate cancer. And I said, I'm sorry to hear that. My husband died of prostate cancer. I said, do you know, did you get it early enough? And she shook her head, and more tears began to roll. And I said, well, I will be praying for you. And I have been every evening, Friday, yesterday, and I asked you to join me in prayers for her. The important thing about both of these stories is, one, that the little girl paid attention to a woman who was walking in the door of the hotel as she was whizzing out the door with a basketball in her hand. 16th century French philosopher and activist Simone Weil said, those who are unhappy have no need for anything in the world but people capable of giving them attention. The capacity to give one's attention to another is a very rare and difficult thing. It is a miracle, she says. And nearly all of those who think that they have the capacity to be attentive to others don't possess it. The woman at the front desk trusted me with her story. And as I was going to my room, I heard her share it with her coworker. And I thought, thank God that I took the time to let her know that I would be praying for her. And one of the things that has been sitting in my spirit when she said, I don't even know what to ask. And I thought, you know some of the questions that she should ask. And so I took her name. And I'm going to write to her and say, these are some things that might help you and your husband as you begin this journey. Paying attention may sound like something very simple and easy to do, but often we are not capable of it. In today's text, we have the story of Elijah. How many of you have heard about Elijah? Raise your hand. Great, and I don't have to give a whole lot of explanation about Elijah, do I? Elijah, of course, was the protege of the prophet Elijah. And when Elijah was dying, Elisha asked him for a double portion of the Spirit of God that rested on him. And God blessed Elijah that he did receive that double portion. Well, there's a whole lot of text, and I thank Peg for reading. It's a very long text, isn't it? But it's a powerful story about Elijah as he began to live into the ministry that God was entrusting to him in the northern kingdom of Israel. During this time, Israel, of course, had been divided, and there was the northern kingdom, and then there was the southern kingdom, which was the kingdom of Judah. And so Elijah was sort of like an evangelist, actually. He was moving around the country. He was going from place to place, doing what God wanted him to do. And what a blessing he was, because even before He came into Shunammite country. He had already been blessing other people. The interesting thing about this story is that Elijah was in and out of the Shunammite towns, and this wealthy Shunammite woman noticed him. She paid attention to him. And she noticed him coming and going. And then she said to her husband, "This man is a holy man. Let us build a room for him on top of our house." And you see in the story that not only did they build a room, but they gave him a bed and a lamp and a table. I mean, she essentially made an apartment for Elisha on the top of their house. And so, what was it about this Shunammite woman that made her notice Elisha? There was something about him that she was able to name that he was a holy man. As you move in and out and about your day, do people know that you are a holy person? I mean, the woman at the hotel wouldn't have known had she not asked me what I did, right? I work for God. I like saying that. We all work for God. There wasn't anything special about her, except that they say she was wealthy and she was married to an older man. Sounds a little bit like me. I was married to an older man. I think I told you all some of that story. But she wasn't so important that they gave her the name in the story, right? Most of the women in the biblical stories weren't named. And neither was she, even though she had great wealth. And what was it about her life that caused God to use her in such a great way? If God is able to empower the life of a nameless woman, then surely God can empower us, right? God knows us by name, the psalmist says. Before we were born, God knew us. I don't know about you, but that can be very comforting, but it can also be frightening, right? That means God knows everything about us. And God knows what we are capable of doing and what we're not capable of doing. And the neat thing is even if God knows that we're not capable, God will equip us to be able to do what God is calling us to do. Now, this story is long and there are a lot of things going on in it, but what I want to share with us today, four things about this Shunammite woman that we might want to model ourselves after if we want to have holy encounters, powerful holy encounters like she did and like Elisha did. And so I want to talk about the fact that she paid attention to the man of God and made him feel welcome. I want to talk about the fact that she made room for him. I want to talk about the fact that she received God's promise. And finally, I want to talk about the fact that she held on to God's promise. I've already talked to you a little bit about the fact that she paid attention to Elisha, a man that was coming and going and who didn't have a hotel room. Who knows where he was sleeping when he was in and out. But she saw that he needed comfort and shelter and she went out of her way to provide that. That's called radical hospitality. Who would let somebody, first of all, enter their home that they didn't know, and actually they were not even supposed to be friends with? I mean, we get invitations to stay at people's homes all the time, but they know us, right? But she didn't know Elisha. But what she did know was that he was a man of God. And so the Shunammite woman was changing the way that she looked at strangers, at people that she didn't know. And that's one of the things, as we are living in this crazy world, I know it seems messed up, but it's not as messed up as we think it is, because the news makes us think that it's just totally messed up, but it's not, because people like you and I are still doing good things every day, right? And so one of the things that I've had to talk to myself, Amber, is I had to say, stop reading the news all the time if it's going to make you feel bad and depressed or fearful. And so what I have stopped doing is drinking it in every day. Sometimes I can go for 3 or 4 days and not even listen to the news. And people say, didn't you hear it? I have been offline. No, I didn't. But if we can begin to see the way that God sees, then we will be less fearful of people who don't look like us. One of the things, we were in a meeting yesterday, the search team is hard at work, and I do keep praying for us so that we will get God's best in an interim and in your next settled pastor. But if we can begin to pray that we will see the world and see people the way God sees people, then there will be less fear in our spirits about the other. I was reading back over the profile, Spencer, you all challenged me. It's like, go back and read the details. And one of the things that I read is that this community is changing. There is some growth. I had never stayed on the other side of, is it Wyoming Boulevard Residence Inn? I normally stay at the Marriott Courtyard. And I went up the hill and I was like, look at all of these new homes over here. Something is happening here. And not everybody who's moving in is going to look like you, right? I heard there is some diversity. You're seeing it at football games, and you're seeing it in church. So that means that we have to be able to be open to strangers and people who don't look like us. And I have to tell you, I'm going to back up for a minute. That little girl who said hello to me, that was powerful to me. Because a lot of times people either look at me and wonder why I'm here, or they look at me as if they don't see me. That little girl bounding out of the door with a basketball in her hand saw me. And as a person of color, that was striking and welcoming to my spirit. Now, you all welcome me all the time, but I'm your regional pastor, right? But for someone who didn't know me, and the way she said hello was just wonderful sweetness to my ears. She paid attention. The Shunammite woman paid attention to Elisha, and then what did she do? She made room for him. She made a place in her home. She made a place in her heart for Elijah. Do you know what it means to make a place for somebody? Sure you do. You bring out your best, don't you? You give your best. You go the extra mile. You make your home feel warm and full of love. The woman made Elisha feel like he was a member of her family. She expanded her house so that he could dwell with them, and because she did that, she received a promise that she didn't even ask for. Did you catch that in the story? She received a promise that she did not even ask for. Elisha called her and said, "What do you need? What does your husband need? Do you need me to talk to the king for you? Or do you need me to talk to the commander of the army for you?" He was ready to take care of her. Why? Because she had taken care of him. And what did she say? She said, "No. I am with my people," meaning I am fine, I have everything that I need, and she went away. But then he sent his servant to tell her, "You will have a child," because Gehazi said, "Oh, she's married to an old man, and she doesn't have any kids." And so Elisha heard that, and Elisha talked to God on her behalf. Because women, even though she was wealthy, women without a husband or a father or a brother were treated less than. That's still happening somewhere in the world, right? So God decided through Elisha to bless the Shunammite woman with a son. And when Elisha came back, she had a son she didn't ask for. God was taking care of her. The thing that we have to get is that if we cultivate the servant's heart in us and just serve until we cannot serve anymore, and I don't care how old we are, until the last breath, we have the capability of serving. God is going to use us. The Shunammite woman had a servant's heart. So she paid attention to Elisha. She made room for Elisha in her home and in her heart. She received God's promise of a son that she did not ask for. And then she held on to God's promises because life happens. And her son got sick and died. Now, I have to tell you, me with my brain was asking, did he really die? Maybe he went into a coma, right? I mean, Elisha, she got on her donkey and went to Elisha, and that had to be more than a day's ride. And she went to him, but when he asked her, "What is wrong? Is your husband okay? Is your son okay? Are you okay?" she said, "Everything's all right." That was strange, wasn't it? When she had taken her son and laid him in Elisha's room, her dead son, in his room. That whole story just sounded really weird to me, and so I started with my scientific brain trying to figure it out and say, maybe he wasn't really dead. Maybe he just had a stroke or went into a diabetic coma. I mean, you know, they didn't really know what was happening in our bodies then. But the truth of the matter is, it's whether he was or he wasn't, they thought he was dead, right? And so she goes to Elijah and she says everything is all right. And Elijah says, well, she's distressed. Something's not right. And then he calls her back. And He calls her, and then she goes home, and he follows her home. And what does he do? He goes into the room, his room, that they made for him, and he lays on top of the boy's body. And he breathes on the boy. He takes the boy's hand. He looks into his eyes. And then he walks around the room. All really strange stuff. And when he walked to and fro in the room, and then he heard the boy sneeze, the boy comes back to life. Now, this is not anything new, because Elijah, remember, had raised the widow's son. Miracles were happening all the time. And they're still happening today. Aren't they? How many of you can say that you know of a miracle that's happened in your life? Amen. Did I hear somebody had a surgery and they had 5 stents put in? God be praised. I was in the hospital last week with one of our pastors, Reverend Reggie Chapman. His wife had the kidney that he had given her 10 years ago had to be removed because it was dead inside of her. Necrosis had set in. She was starting to lose feeling in her feet. So she had surgery last week. And she had gone to other doctors, and they kept telling her, well, it was this, it was that. And they said, this kidney is diseased inside your body. And they removed it. They weren't sure she would make it off the table. But she did. And now she's waiting for a new kidney. And guess what? She's not healthy enough to even go on the list. But we are claiming that today, that she will get healthy and be able to receive another kidney. The Shunammite woman held on to the promises of God. God had given her a son. He died. She believed. You see, I don't believe she ever let go of her son. Even though he had died, she believed that this holy man could bring her son back to life. And so she took him and laid him on the holy man's bed. And then she went to get the holy man and bring him back. And she got her son back. Now, I know that you are anxious, because I'm anxious. Your beloved pastor God has called her to another place of ministry. She was the best. She still is. We have to trust God that God is going to give us the best again. We have to believe that, and we have to keep serving as much as we were serving when Pastor Cynthia was here. We cannot slack up now. The Shunammite woman sought to make Elijah, the man of God, welcome in her house. And so he brought new birth to her household. He gave her a son, and then he gave her a resurrected son. When we, God's beloved, make the Holy Spirit welcome in our lives, when we open ourselves to the Spirit of God moving in and through us, to say to the stranger, hello, you are welcome here. To say to the person that you don't like, you know, I really didn't like what you did. But I love you anyway. to say to the person who has been cast aside because they made so many mistakes that we think that they are unforgivable, that we have the strength in the Spirit of God to say, you are forgiven. God loves you, and so do I. My pastor in Atlanta used to say that to us all the time. God loves you, and so do I. And then she got cute with it, and she said, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And oh my goodness, that made me feel so good. It gave me the opportunity to get it right the next time. And so what is it that God has in store for First Christian Church in Casper, Wyoming? Well, I don't know, but I know it's good. It's actually better than good. Because God is doing something new. When God called your pastor to another congregation, God was already working to bring you a new pastor. We don't know who it is, but we need to be ready to recognize who it is, like the Shunammite woman. I know that this person is a holy man or woman from God. And we have to be ready to make space for that person. Well, how do we make space, Pastor Joanne? Oh, you ask such good questions. What are some of the things that you are doing that are no longer life-giving? What are some of the things that you're doing just because you've been doing them? You have work to do just as God has work to do, getting you ready for this new season of ministry. So, what's next, First Casper Christian Church in Casper, Wyoming? New birth is in this house. New birth is happening right now, here and now. Amen.
I think we would all agree that we have enjoyed everything that you have said today and that we'll take it to heart, and that God loves you, and so do we.
Thank you so much.
Let's join in singing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds on page 433, and please stand up.
If you would like beloved of God, is the confidence that we hear that the one who began the good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Go in love, and Christ.